Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, Ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide.
Today, our scripture is taken from the book of Job, chapter 19, verse 25 and 26, which say, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I will see God." If you know that Job, at this point, had lost all his material possessions, and of course he was one of the wealthiest men in the Near East during this time, he lost everything in an instant of time, in one day's time. And if that's not bad enough, he lost his health, and he was in total misery. And yet, in spite of that, and in spite of some of his friends coming and trying to give him counsel, Job made the big confession that he knew that his Redeemer lived, and that he would stand in a resurrection body in the latter day in the presence of his Lord, and he will see God face to face. What great faith Job had. So in spite of many, many difficulties that we have, we can have the same kind of faith. We can realize that God will never leave us or forsake us. We can realize that God will always be with us and help us through the most difficult of circumstances, through persecutions, through all kinds of diseases and things that can happen to us in this life. The Lord watches over us from beginning to end of our lives here on earth, and then he's with us throughout eternity forever and ever and ever. What a great God, what a great love, what a great Savior we have.
I am a child of yours. You are the one who saves. I am redeemed by love, and this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice as we lift his name. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day, come and sing your praise. For the Lord now reigns on the throne of grace. Soon is the day he will bring us home, and we have this hope, for we are his own. This is the day, come and sing your praise, for the Lord now reigns on the throne of grace. Soon is the day he will bring us home.
Hello, and welcome to another inspiring episode of Mission Moments. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, bringing you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This week, we are excited to spotlight Mission Go's unwavering commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities worldwide. Join us as we delve into the incredible stories of missionaries making a tangible difference in unique language groups worldwide. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, we celebrate the dedicated individuals who embark on this journey to preach, build
genuine relationships, and address the needs of those they serve. Their heartfelt outreach aims to share the gospel's transformative power, and we can't wait for you to hear these uplifting stories. Stay tuned as we explore the meaningful connections being forged and the lives being changed, all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. A call from the Scatlift Children's Ministry, Guatemala. This past year, our missionaries felt the call on their lives from the Lord to move from their residence in Indiana to Guatemala with their young family. This was a huge leap of faith, as they would have to sell most of their belongings and move internationally with four young boys. But they were obedient, and the Lord showed up. On the very same day, they learned that the closing of their home in Indiana was moved up by a week, and they had nowhere yet to move to in Guatemala. Although they had been searching for 8 months, they, in faith, agreed to move the closing date. They cried. They pleaded with the Lord. Just 2 hours later, they found and accepted a rental house in Guatemala, and that house, the one they are currently living in, has been such a blessing to their family. The Lord's timing, yet the requirement of faith in the process, was profound. Waiting on the Lord is necessary. And the only thing you need to control is your reaction to your situation, ensuring it honors the Lord. Let us continue to pray for this dear family as they serve in Guatemala. As we draw this inspiring episode of Mission Moments to a close, I want to take a moment to reflect on the powerful work being done around the globe. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, president of Mission Go, and it has been a joy to share with you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This week, we've been privileged to spotlight Mission Go's steadfast commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities in every corner of the world. The incredible stories of our missionaries remind us of the profound impact one can have. These devoted individuals are not just sharing messages, they are building genuine relationships and meeting heartfelt needs, all driven by their desire to share the transformative love of Jesus Christ. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, I encourage you to share these stories. They are testaments to faith in action and the beauty of community. Together, we are witnessing lives being transformed by the grace of God, and it's an honor to be part of this journey with you. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will continue to pray for our missionaries and support their efforts to ignite hope and love in every community they touch. Until next time, may the grace and peace of our Lord bless you abundantly. This March, here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we would like to make available another booklet about patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand. As we continue the offering, the devotional series by Robert Strand, The Nine Fruits of the Spirit, the Greek word makrothumia, pronounced makroth, means forbearance, long-enduring, fortitude, long-suffering, and patience. When does a person develop patience? At the point of the new birth? How long does it take to cultivate this fruit to maturity? What does it take to make the process happen? The special application of this quality of character is most often exhibited in our dealing with other people relationships. Perhaps it's easier to approach this from the negative side. Lack of patience can poison relationships and too often ruins what would otherwise be wonderful and maybe even brilliant personalities. But this fruit takes time to mature. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. In these Bible studies, Fruits of the Spirit, by the bestseller author Robert Strand, you will learn about yourself and how to relate to others as you gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ. To order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario Postal Code L2R707, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.
I believe in Christ, risen from the dead. lost its hold. I know on that final day I'll rise as Jesus rose. On that day we will see you shining brighter than the sun. On that day we will know you as we lift our voices one. Till that day we will praise you for your never-ending grace, and we will keep on singing on that glorious day. What a blessed hope, thrown out tired and worn. We will spend eternity around our Savior's throne. Though we grieve our losses, we grieve not in vain, for we know our crown of glory waits beyond the grave. On that day we will see you shining brighter than the sun. On that day we will know you as we lift our voices one. Till that day we will praise you for your never-ending grace, and we will keep on singing on that glorious day.
Today's message is from Reverend Art Larson, very important message. Printed copies are available upon request.
Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, Solomon, we are told, is the wisest man that ever lived on the face of the earth. And there are two very unusual questions asked by Solomon in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. Listen, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Let's search the scriptures to answer these questions that are indicative, because the answer is self-evident. There are many like questions in the Bible, and when you read these verses, you immediately reply, no, of course not. No one can take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned, and no one can walk on hot coals and his feet not be burned. What is the writer speaking about in this chapter? In the immediate context, Solomon is speaking about the terrible scarlet sin of adultery. He issues a warning to all who would dare walk in this primrose pathway of sin. He says adultery is like a fire that will burn, and burn so deeply it will leave scars that cannot be healed in this life. This wise man, Solomon, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is saying you cannot play with fire and not be burned. Also, in a general way, these questions can be applied to all sin and rebellion against God. Over and over again, God's word screams out the warning, you cannot sin and win. You cannot sin and get by with it. Sin is the one game in which everybody plays and nobody wins. The greatest need of this nation today is a new and fresh consciousness of sin. We have lost that. Tolerance is the name of the game today. Everybody's right and nobody's wrong, because we no longer have the foundational guideline of God's holy word, the Bible. And the Bible says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin brings reproach to a nation, to a city, to a family, to individuals. And we need a revival today, a revival of preaching against sin and sins. People need to be told and must be told what sin is in the sight of God. We do not need a new definition of sin. We must declare in no uncertain way what the Bible, God's word, says about it. We must call sin what God calls it. There must be a new crusade in churches of our land, preaching against sin, calling it by its right name, painting it as black as God paints it. For you see, our individual and our national sins are storing up God's wrath that will someday be poured out upon us in judgment sooner than many of us realize. May God give us more courageous prophets who are willing to cry out against sin in every quarter, and who will tell people in simple, clear-cut words that sin is real, that it results in a terrible, terrible, eternal separation from God, and that it burns when we play with it, and it burns deeply. I want you to notice, of course, that Jesus is the only Savior from sin. But first of all, I want to paint the black picture of sin so that the beautiful light of the glorious gospel of Christ and the shining of the Son of God will enlighten your darkness and bring you to repentance from sin and trust and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want you to see sin separates from God. Unconfessed sin separates a Christian from the fellowship of his Heavenly Father. Some of you are listening who have professed to make your faith in Jesus Christ to be born again, and yet you have been walking and living in unconfessed sin. Listen to Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. God spoke this to his Old Testament people through the prophet Isaiah. And this verse suggests three things that the unconfessed sin does to a believer. It separates the believer from the Father's conscious presence. You see, John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Now, the opposite is also true. If we fail to walk in the light as believers, we do not have fellowship with the Father. And his wonderful experience of fellowship is lost to us because of sin in our life. And therefore, unconfessed sin robs a person of the assurance of salvation, of the springs of joy, and invites the chastening hand of God. This verse in Isaiah also suggests that God will hide his face from one who has sin in their life that is unconfessed. The face of the Lord is often used in his word as a symbol of his rich blessing. So, unconfessed and unjudged sin in our lives jams the flow of his blessings into our lives. And we are also told that he won't hear our prayers if we have unconfessed sin in our life. Sin regarded in the life and heart of a true Christian will obstruct the line that reaches to the throne of grace. May God help us today, if you're listening, and a Christian who has unconfessed sin in his life or her life, to put 1 John 1:9 into practice. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you're not saved, remember, sin separates you, the sinner, from the salvation of God. Ephesians 2:1 reads, "And you has he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." You have been made alive who were separated from God by trespasses and sins. The root meaning of the word dead means to be separated from. Sinners are separated from God by sin. They are separated from him as far as the east is from the west, as far as the heavens are above the earth, and the great gulf of sin separates a sinner from God by an immeasurable distance. Verses 12 and 13 of this same chapter, Ephesians 2, says that you are far off from God without Christ and without God and without hope in this world. No darker picture could ever be painted than the one given here. If you are dead in your sins through unconfessed, unbelieving, and refusal to come to Christ for salvation as your personal Savior, then you are destitute of the life of God. May God help you to see that you're really and utterly lost, that you need to seek the Lord and believe on him and trust him as your personal Savior. You will never have life until you come to realize that you are dead in sins. And you'll never want to be saved until you believe that you are in danger of being separated from God for all eternity in the place Jesus called hell. Thank God Christ has forever bridged that gulf of sin for all of us by his death on the cross and his resurrection and his life today. Yes, sin separates, but sin also affects the human heart and conscience. Sin disturbs. There is a disturbing, restless quality about sin. Some of you are experiencing that today. David said it in Psalm 38, verse 3. He says, "Neither is there any rest in my bones because of sin." David had committed at least two terrible sins, and he was disturbed inside, in his heart and his mind, until he gained forgiveness and cleansing. His conscience burned within him, and his spirit was restless until he knew the peace of God again. Never forget, my friend, you may be able to educate your conscience, sear it, train it, but you cannot kill it. And at the most unlikely times, your conscience will stand up and cry out loud within you and demand it to be heard. Isaiah 57, 20 and 21 is also a great verse. "The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked." Now, the Bible says this is a picture of the heart of an unsaved person, restless. The human brain is one of the most wonderful things God created. In the brain, there are millions of tiny cells, and each cell is capable of storing up actions and words of the individual. And everything you have ever done or said, and everything you have ever seen, is tucked away in one of those cells of memory in your brain. The brain never forgets anything. It is this ability of the human mind that many times torments a person in the quiet hours of the night when he or she is all alone and the memories of their sins are washed up on the shores of their mind by the restless waves of a sinful heart. A person may roll and toss in bed through the sleepless night. They may take and try to forget by taking drugs or drink to drown the memory of past sins, but there is no peace, says God to the wicked. True peace of mind is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the guilty mind and conscience can only be purged from dead works by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Sin many times drives people utterly insane. It drives them like a slave master to utter confusion, distraction, despondency, and many times to suicide. Yes, friends, the Bible says sin disturbs the heart, and it also deceives the heart. Hebrews 3:13 says, "I exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." The word declares that the natural heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, sin has a deceitful way. Someone has said, if sin were not so deceitful, it would never seem so delightful. The pleasures of sin, the Bible teaches, are only for a season, and then comes the rude awakening and the awful storm of certain judgment. And the devil, of course, is the master deceiver. The Bible says the devil that deceived them someday will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do." You see, if you're not saved, you're under the spell and mastery of the master deceiver, the devil. He can cloud your mind and shroud your soul in spiritual darkness and keep you asleep to your lost, undone condition before God. Many times people in our churches are unsaved, and they are deceived by the devil into thinking they're saved when they've never been born again. He can keep you asleep in your lost, undone condition before God. In short, he deceives you right into thinking that you're all okay and that you're right without Christ and that somehow you can get by. May God awaken each unsaved person listening to this message. You're being deceived, blinded, duped, and drugged by Satan. You are slowly being dragged toward the place reserved for him and his angels in hell. Believe the word of God today and trust Christ as your Savior. Your eyes will be opened and you will be saved. Because you see, sin finally hardens the heart. Hebrews 3:13 says, we can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There is a hardening quality about sin. That's why the Bible says today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Living on year after year in sin hardens the human heart and turns a deaf ear to the voice of God. And then, the Bible says, when you are often reproved and warned of your lost condition and do nothing about it, it produces a hardness of heart that will finally bring you to a Christless eternity. Yes, sin finally brings death. It says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Many times it's premature death. It may be violent death. It may be sudden death. No chance to repent. How long have you been putting off Christ? How long have you been saying no to the wooing of the Spirit of God, showing you no matter what people may say today, that sin is wrong, that sin brings death, that sin deceives, that sin separates from God. And the final wages of sin is eternal death in a place called the lake of fire and brimstone. Oh, my friend, there is a remedy. The answer to the great sin problem of this world is Calvary. The sin problem was forever solved on the cross when Jesus Christ, who loved us, died for our sins and bore our sins in His own body on the tree. You see, you don't have to die for your sins. You don't have to suffer for your sins. Jesus suffered and Jesus died and Jesus paid the total penalty for your sins on the cross when He shed His precious blood and there exhausted the wrath of God for us. For He who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He was buried, and the third day He rose again. He proved Himself alive by infallible proofs. 40 days later, He went back to heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God and is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by Him, because He ever liveth to make intercession for us. No matter what your problem may be, it's not really a sin problem. It is a Son problem, S-O-N. You need to trust the Son of God, and the sin problem will be taken care of, because though the Bible says the wages of sin is death, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This moment, come to Jesus. Confess to Him your sin. Trust Him. Turn from your sin. Receive Him as your Savior. And let Him live His life through you, and you will be transformed. For the Bible says, if anyone be in Christ, they become a new creature. Old things pass away, including all your sins. For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses away all your sins, and all things become new. You have a new life in Jesus Christ, a new destiny in heaven. Who would ever go on in their sin turning down such an offer? Turn today to Christ. Trust Him, receive Him, and begin this new life. I pray you will.
As we draw this broadcast to a close, we at Mission Go and Canada's National Bible Hour want to express our heartfelt prayers for you. We hope the messages you've heard today and the inspiring stories from the mission field resonate deeply within you and ignite a passionate desire for a closer relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We encourage you to take a moment to immerse yourself in the wisdom of Scripture, reflecting on the beautiful invitation found in Matthew 11:28-29, where Jesus calls us to find rest in Him. May these words lift your spirit and guide you towards a more profound understanding of His love and purpose for your life. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, may God's grace and peace be with you all. Also, remember to order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series, 9 Fruits of the Spirit by Robert Strand. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23, to order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R787, or in the United States, box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. Thank you for tuning in to Canada's National Bible Hour. We truly appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Remember, this program is made possible by your generous support, and we couldn't continue sharing these uplifting messages without you. If you have any questions or want to discuss our broadcast further, feel free to contact Tammy Campbell, our dedicated producer, at tjcampbell@missiongo.org. We love hearing from you. Until next time, take care and may God bless you richly. We look forward to having you with us again soon.